Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Now, breakdancing made its Olympic debut in Paris, but unfortunately the story that people connected with the most was one of mockery and a bit of negativity, given the abuse that was attracted and directed towards Ray Gunn, the infamous Australian B-girl, who received a lot of criticism for her performance. Toby Omotesho reckons the saga around that video has been misrepresented, and he's here to talk about how he discovered breaking, and he's also going to talk about an exciting event that's happening in Limerick in the middle of September. Toby, you're very welcome. Thanks for travelling up from Limerick for us.
Listen, thanks for having me.
Toby Omotesho. I'm sorry if I...
No, not at all.
Omotesho. You were halfway through explaining. Oh,
yeah.
Omotesho.
Oh, yeah, Omotesho. So with the T, you put the T and H together. So it's like Omotesho.
Oh, very good. Yeah, didn't do too bad at all.
Yeah.
And you're both Nigerian and Irish. Is that the identity?
Yes, yeah, exactly. I was born in Nigeria, but I grew up here. I've been here about 27 years now.
Oh, really? What age did you grow up there? You were a child then, obviously. Small child.
Yeah, exactly. I was like 9. When we first moved here to Kildare, my dad is a Norse, so he came here.
Very good. We need them.
Exactly. So he was in here many years ago. So yeah.
And it's was it Selbridge?
Selbridge.
Yeah. What was life like growing up there?
Selbridge. Can you imagine back then? You know, back in like 1999. Actually, yeah. Like 1998, 1999. There was nothing there, only like cows and cattle.
Nothing.
Like absolutely nothing. to see where it's gone from.
That's true.
From
the
there. Boom. It's amazing. But there was nothing there. You know, it was just like cattle, fields and rain.
And it's a football mad place.
So football, yes.
You'd no choice but to join in.
No choice. But unfortunately, back then they didn't fancy us. You know, people like me on the pitch back then. You know,
is that so right?
Yeah. Exactly. So which was kind of like I would have been the best Hurley player. Like if you see me with a Hurley on my hand, boy. You know.
Well, you'd be the best Hurley player in Kildare.
In Kildare.
Might be too difficult, you know. But did you play football up until what age then? Your teenage years.
About 15.
About 15?
About 15.
You stopped, why?
Yeah, it was just kind of difficult to keep going, you know, because, it is a very passionate sport. Now, you become more passionate when they see someone like me on the pitch, you know. So the abuse I was getting, it was just best to just kind of step down,
This is a few years after, this is into the noughties now, because when you're
exactly.
You were getting abuse.
Exactly, 2000, early 2000, exactly.
For being the black kid.
Yeah, the black kid on the pitch, you know, and I'm like, come on, guys! You know, I just have more suntan than he is. You know,
But I know you're laughing about it now, but it must have been pretty hard at the time.
Oh no! To be honest, it was, and I think that deterred a lot of people. You know, actually joining the sport, the guy would have actually been more a multicultural space. You know, if it has been given the opportunity or people has been given the opportunity, and there's amazing guy players now coming up in other fractions in the country.
Now,
yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Exactly.
What kind of things would they be saying to you?
Something like some I cannot recite on the radio, you know,
really?
We might get cancelled, you know, but it was pretty shocking, you know, especially for a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old, 14-year-old or 15-year-old hearing that of parents more so. It's from the parents. It's
directed from the child.
As a child. And then the child will see that learned behavior, and then they will mimic that, and then they grow up with that prejudice, and that prejudice doesn't serve society at all.
Would you try to fight back verbally, or would you just have to kind of
I was a very active kid with a lot of energy, so I did fight, to be honest, you know.
Did anybody stand up alongside you?
Of course, there was some adult that would have stood up, but everybody was learning, you know. It was, it was the height of the Celtic Tiger, and then there was an influx of, you know, immigrants and people that are more tanned than others, you know. So, you understand?
We had a lot of Nigerian immigrants, didn't we, during the boom years?
So, during the boom year. And it was because of Ireland is one of the only English-speaking countries in the EU, apart from the UK, you know. So it would be UK and Ireland that would have an influx of Nigerians that have come.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry you went through that. They obviously won because you left the sport.
And you see, you
that was
see
the last to Selbridge.
I know.
Among your peers, were your friends, were they the white kids in Kildare, or did you have to become friends with the other Nigerians?
Funny enough,
here?
There wasn't a big Nigerian community back then.
No, okay.
But the travelling community. So, because we were the two people, so one of my friends, like my best mate at that time, was a traveler. It was from the community,
yeah.
And we were the two put back in the back of the class, you know.
So naturally, you become friends.
Yeah, yeah, and we become friends. Went to the Halton site, you know. He knew the best spot, you know, to go and just to doss or to, you know, and he would have been, you know, the person that I would have hung around a lot with, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't see him any different or anything, or like, it was just, yeah, that was the way they have chosen to live, you know. And it wasn't any, you know, there wasn't any culture shock there. Mm-hmm. It was actually normal. He came to our house, you know, my parents know him. And and we were the two people that were not almost accepted in society. So we bound together, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's what kind of put me at peace, in a sense, you know, that there's already prejudiced view against people that tend to look like them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How much more me? So that's what kind of gave me a solace to be like, okay, maybe my turn will come. Maybe they let them sort that out within the traveling community.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you saying there's prejudice?
As in, you know, what they would have, what people would say to my friend.
You saw the problems for him.
For him as well. So I'm like, okay, if there's problem for him, definitely there'll be problems for me, you know. And he's been here far longer. Like, they are part of the land.
I see what you mean.
You
yes.
know,
if
they are part of the land, and if they are facing prejudice or injustice or whatever, then how much more me, you know,
ignorance has been here, unfortunately.
Well, exactly.
No,
exactly.
It didn't hold you back because you were successful in your life. You now live in Limerick and you're an engineer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Successful, yeah. I won't say so, somewhat, you know, I had to work.
Oh, you are. You mean automation engineer. You have a good job in Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I worked hard. I paid my college tuition, you know, went to college, you know, and then paid my way.
Don't get free. You didn't get free third level.
No, because back then when we came, there was a mistake on the way I came into the country. I came in as a unification visa, which is just to join my father or my family.
Yeah.
But the state didn't know what stamp to assign to me back then, and then they assigned me a student visa. And we didn't know any better. We just got a stamp.
Of course, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And there wasn't anybody to go to verify that or anything like that. It was just what was given to us. And then we rolled with that. And then so much so that I had to pay full tuition fees, and I didn't have access to grants or anything like that. So I paid. I was working two jobs actually, and I had to go to college to pay my tuition fees.
You must have a very happy outlook in life that these knocks don't seem to have affected.
I won't say happy or sad. It's just that's my story, and I wear it. That's my part of that's my story.
How do you discover dance?
Actually, you know, if not for dance, probably I won't be here speaking to you. Obviously.
Really?
You know, maybe it will be under other circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
But dance was my outlet, you know. And I feel like that was the thing, because I didn't want to go play soccer, you know, because every black lad was playing soccer. You know, you're black, you're expected to either play soccer or rap.
Right.
That's it, you know.
You're put in that box. That's
yeah, literally within society, you know. And
so you started doing something that no one else was doing.
So I just wanted to. I felt a different expression, and in my household, you know, is which I grew up, and I'm thankful for that household, because there was always music and dance, and that's what really, really allowed us to air out whatever we were feeling inside, because there's this pumped up energy that needed to go somewhere, and it was dance. And I remember in birthday parties, like musical chairs or musical statues and like little dance competition within the communities. And my parents used to put me into it and I used to win them.
You loved it?
Yeah. Loved it. I loved it.
And then when you start dancing properly, who teaches you how to dance?
So that was in Carlo. It was on a open stage in for Culture Night. It was either Culture really? Night or Paddy's Day.
Yeah.
But there was a stage there. And I learned this, all the dance moves. Me and my mate, we learned it from a film called You Got Served. And that movie changed my life because
break
I saw...
Dancing film.
It was a dance film. And I was like, oh, these are people, you know, the way their hat, you know, the gear, you know, they're cool, the way they talk. And at that age, you know, I was like 15, you know. My hormones was raging. I was like, okay.
You're looking for a crowd.
It makes you cool and things like that. So, and I wanted to belong more so. It was more a search of belonging because in my space, I wasn't in most of the spaces that I was in, I wasn't allowed, you know, be who I am, you know. And I was searching for that. I watched that movie. I told the lads, guys, let's go out. I can do this flip. And everybody was like, oh, Toby, you're going to break your leg. Will you stop?
Yeah.
You know, I was like, no. Come on. And then I done a backflip, you know?
Yeah.
And then everybody went nuts. Everybody was like, I was like,
very impressive.
I was like, this is what I want. This feeling is what I want to keep. And I want to know more of. Fast forward, the stage was there, an open stage that anybody could come up.
Mm-hmm.
So we went up to the stage. And we were busting out all the moves in the movie, you know, in the movie. And then all of a sudden, everybody thought we were professionals. We came from America, but we're just two lads from Carlo. You know, just...
These incredible American
breakdancers. Yeah. They thought we were like this.
Toby
this.
From Carlo.
Yeah, but I'm a kid from Carlo, you know. You know, Flashy and Dashy, they used to call us, actually. You know, yeah.
Wasn't the worst name.
Yeah, Flashy and Dashy.
And so 20 years on, you're still doing the breaking.
Yeah. Exactly.
What is the expression? What is it? Do you have to train separately, by the way, physically? Because it's an athletic performance.
Or is the
dancing all the training?
So I dance, I train. Mm. I train minimum of four to five days a week for about an hour. That's my session.
Wow.
I've been doing that for 20 years.
Wow.
You know, so I've been training that long. Hence why I look this good, you know. You know.
I'm sorry we're running out of time because your background was so fascinating.
Yeah, I know.
But tell us, if you can, in a minute, what you're going to be doing in Limerick and how people can go and enjoy watching you.
So in Limerick is part of a commission to This I Belong by LUL, which is the National Dance Company of Ireland. It's been set up new, and then there's four commissions in the four corners of the country. You know, mm-hmm. Ulster, Munster, Connacht, and Leinster. And I'm in Munster, so I am literally
representing Limerick.
Representing Limerick, and it's a boombox. It's an initiative.
Boombox gathering,
exactly.
A revival of grassroots hip hop collective. It's the 14th of September.
14th of September.
Arthur's
yes.
Quay Park.
Yes,
and
yes,
it's a,
yes.
It's a free event, actually.
It's a free event. It's open. It's outdoors, so we'll have graffiti, all the elements of hip hop, which is something that I would say saved me. You know, 14th of September.
Toby Amateo, thank you so much for coming into us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being such a happy chap and for recovering from all of that.
I know, right?
Take it easy. Good luck. One